A research project is exploring new avenues to better protect vulnerable seasonal workers across regional Australia. Many regional seasonal workers experience strict visa conditions, low pay, and housing unavailability, which often leads to them living in unsafe and poor quality housing conditions. Industries such as agriculture and hospitality are highly reliant on seasonal workers to fill shortages. I spoke with senior lecturer from Monash University's School of Social Sciences, Dr. Sarah Niner, who was a part of the research team, to learn more.
We probably started thinking about it a couple of years ago, and it was led by the Curtin University academics because they were very interested in the lack of accommodation for working holiday makers in Western Australia, and especially at a few of the key tourist sites there. And they found that working holiday makers were sort of living in mobile vans without any facilities and being given really poor quality caravans to live in. And then they teamed up with us at Monash and another academic from Western Sydney Uni, and he was looking at the agricultural workers who have a specific set of issues because they're moving from harvest to harvest. So they get put in very temporary, poor quality housing often. And then I was looking at the longer term workers, the meat workers in Victoria, who are here for like 4 to 5 years, but are often put in temporary housing as well. So it's even worse for them. So together we answered this call for proposals to look at accommodation from the Australian Housing Research Institute. So we put in a proposal to do the research with them. And then as it takes a while for them to make a decision, that we were successful, we got the money. And it took us about a year to do the research in the three different states and finish it off. And it's finally been released by Uhuri last week.
What were some of the research methodologies used to conduct the studies on each of the workers in the various states?
So it was a case study methodology. So the folks at Curtin University did two case studies over there, Coral Bay and Margaret River, for their tourism focus. Then I did two case studies in Victoria. We haven't actually said exactly where these case studies were because it would be easy to identify the workers who were actually very fearful of being identified because they're very fearful of losing their job. And we had some recommendations around this because the reason they're so fearful of losing their jobs is because they're tied to one employer by visa conditions. And if they lose that job, they have to go home. And the livelihoods are so important to them and their families. They'll pretty much put up with poor working and housing conditions to keep the job. So the Australian government is keeping them in these positions of vulnerability where they can be easily exploited.
With these seasonal workers, yep. Is there like a different categories? Yep. If you could tell us a bit about the differences between the workers and like age group, just some basic information.
The three major categories we looked at were the working holiday makers. So they're from a range of different countries. Traditionally, it's been young Europeans coming out on holiday. They get to stay for a year. And then if they want to stay for longer, for another year, they've got to do 88 days work, so about 3 months work, in particular industries in rural areas. So they've often gone to these sort of tourist sites. They've worked in hospitality, but also in harvesting, in the agricultural sector, fruit picking. And they sort of see it slightly as slave labour too. They're tied to these visa conditions if they want to get to stay in Australia for another year. So that's the one major group. The second major group are the seasonal worker programs. So they come in for season, harvest season, to pick our fruit and vegetables. And they're here from kind of 6 to 9 months, and then they go back. And then there's this group that come for longer periods that I looked at that are working in meat works, particularly abattoirs and meat processing plants, and they get to stay for 4 or 5 years. And they're often these palms workers. So this is our Pacific Island Mobility Labour Scheme, and it's workers from the Pacific in Timor-Leste, and they do this seasonal work or they do the meat work. But it's being extended all the time now to aged care, to hospitality, to the sorts of industries in Australia where we have quite big labour gaps. So they're the three workers. the Working Holiday Makers, the Seasonal Workers Program, and the PALM scheme. They're the ones we really looked at.
And with the living conditions, you briefly touched upon it at the beginning, was what some of them experienced. But yeah, could you describe, like, what's some of the worst living conditions that you've heard from, like, from your colleagues or in your particular areas of the seasonal workers?
So it's the sort of temporariness of the accommodation. So they've been, labour hire firms and employers have taken over caravan parks and motels and things, and they're squashing as many workers in as they can. So a caravan that was designed to probably fit a small family, like a parent and a couple of little kids, is now housing 3 to 4 workers. So you've got adults sleeping in kids-sized bunk beds and sharing a space together that's designed for people to have a 2-week holiday in, but they're living in them for sometimes years. And what might have cost a $200 or $300 a week caravan, they're charging per head the workers a couple of $100 a week, so they're making $800 a week on that caravan. So the big issues are cost, overcrowding, lack of privacy, and that gets worse when you're a long-time worker. It's something to put up with something for a few months, but different to have to put up with it for a few years. So it's the temporariness of the accommodation, which means often the heating and cooling is pretty bad. There's no substantial infrastructure to it. There's not enough storage. So I had one guy tell me that they lay out all their clothes on the bed and sleep on it because there's no storage for their clothes or anything else. So the kind of bad quality accommodation, the overcrowding within that accommodation, and then these rates they're charging them for this low quality accommodation. So they're the three main complaints about the accommodation.
Could you go into detail into what recommendations or reforms should be implemented to help resolve this issue, if it can be resolved in the future sometime? Like, what are the research findings come down to?
One of the first priority findings we had was that the visa settings need to be adjusted so that people aren't tied to one employer. They can move around. But if they're being exploited in the job or the conditions aren't good enough, or in the employer-provided accommodation, if that's awful, then they can look for another job and move on to somewhere where the workplace environment's good and the accommodation's better. So tying people to one employment, we're creating the conditions for exploitation and bad conditions. Then our research focused on accommodation. So we need to look at new ways of providing better quality accommodation, and that really needs investment by the government or some kind of private-public initiatives where we're building housing. We're going back to building housing for key workers, which the government used to do many years ago. As a matter of course, they built teacher housing, they built railway worker housing, they built immigrant housing, and we haven't done that for so long now in this country that there's a crisis. So there's all those sorts of things that need to be changed. But also what we found when we were talking to workers is they don't know what the accommodation standards are. And in fact, in the regulations surrounding all these schemes, there are quite good housing regulations. They have to have a certain amount of space, there has to be a certain amount of bathrooms and laundries and kitchens per number of workers. But because the workers are never told what these conditions are, and that they don't know how to complain or there's no one to complain to, because the government has provided very poor complaint systems and they haven't told the workers in their own languages how they can complain safely without losing their job. But all these systems need to be fixed. One of the union reports in this area describes the people that are supposed to be going out and ensuring the companies and the labour hire firms are adhering to the regulations. There's so few inspectors for the 400 employers in the PALM scheme that there's no way the regulations, they're not enforced in any rigorous way by the government. So people are getting away with all sorts of things. So another of our recommendations is that workers need to be informed of their, not just their workers' rights, but their housing rights as well, and that there are systems of complaint that are adequate.
That was Dr. Sarah Niner, Senior Lecturer, from Monash University, ending the report.